Hey guys, thanks for checking us out here at DFS Karma. All of our podcasts are sponsored by MyBookie. So if you're looking to make some more money and bet on baseball, football, golf, basketball, or anything else, create a free account today by going to www.mybookie.today.
Hey, Karma Nation, what is up? Thanks for joining us once again for another podcast with the Karma Network here, the Golf Podcast Edition. This week, we're heading to the Dell Technologies Championship at TPC Boston. We'll do a little recap of last week, kind of what we do every week. We'll get to our DraftKings cash plays, value plays. We'll get into the leverage spots. We'll talk about some of our betting picks. We do all of our bets, if you probably saw in the opening of our video, at mybookie.today. I'll be referencing some of the plays that I actually already do have locked in. It's been one hell of a year. I'm Anthony Carson, your host, with Andrew Peterson, aka AP, joining you guys once again. I think, AP, this is probably going to be our last in-depth podcast. I mean, we might do something next week for our subscribers in our Slack chat, maybe like a 5-10 minute video we'll put out for them. But this is the last real meat and potatoes tournament, at least for me, as far as a lot of my bank strategy. I'm more than likely going to have some GPPs next week and having some fun with it, but transitioning into NFL in a much smaller field. With that being said, you and I didn't get too much time to talk early this week. I know we were both pretty busy, but last week was, you know, again, just to recap really quick, at least for me, it was exciting and stressful being in, you know, the quote-unquote live final. And I had 3 tickets. It didn't turn out to obviously what I guess wanted to, but I had 2 really solid teams. I had 1 6-6 team and I had 1 5-6 team with basically the nuts of, you know, like a DJ, Bryson, even Keegan Bradley. I mean, somehow I had a 5-6 lineup in that 200-man quote-unquote live final. It was really peaking into the top 15, the top 10 late in the Saturday when Keegan Bradley, you know, tore it up and broke a course record, if not tied. I believe he tied with a 62. So I was right there, man. And at that point, you know, not having a 6-6, I was really excited for at least, you know, hopefully a top 15 finish. And then Keegan went Keegan. I think I had Stanley and Greel Neat left. They didn't really do much Sunday. And DJ kind of plodded along, which is a little bit weird. But, you know, he had a few triples throughout the week, ton of birdies. We'll get into that. I think he goes overlooked actually this week. But it was a fun tournament, man. Like, I think you watched the little lineup review video I did. Again, everything, guys, all of our content, AP's playbook, Travis's punt plays, my cheat sheet, the final thoughts cheat sheet, it's all live at dfskarma.com. All of our content's free. And you guys can access that every single week. AP, how was your week, man?
You know, my week was not ideal, not great. You know, I'm a GPP player. And when you have 3 many chalky guys kind of leading the way with how Tony Finau was playing. And, you know, Bryson was pretty chalky. Obviously with that much chalk leading the field, it's just, it makes GPPs tough unless you go extremely overweight those guys. And I wasn't overweight those guys, you know, even though I like Bryson, we talked about him on the pod, just where ownership was trending mainly due to like, so many people were on him betting wise because just, you know, what was he, 80-1? I know we had him, which was just crazy. But I feel like that beefed his ownership up, you know, in DFS too, because people wanted to probably correlate. So, I mean, it was a little bit tough. I mean, you probably could have taken all of Travis's punts plays and lined them up against my best lineup and Travis would have beat me. So
true story, honestly, man. I told you guys, I think, off air. But the funny thing is, I mean, you got to check that article out. I mean, Travis does a good job of dissecting super early in the week so you can get a little bit ahead of research. And, you know, my girl Tiffany, I generally force her to watch a lot of these tournaments late in the week, especially if we got some good teams in the mix. And obviously this week was exciting. But when Cam Smith started spiking there over the weekend, even she goes, "Who's Cam Smith? I've never seen his face before." And I was like, yeah, exactly. Like, Cam Smith, great human being, I'm sure, but I don't play much of him, if not at all, ever. That was a little surprising, but yeah, big call there, Travis. Anything else for you, AP, last week?
No, you know, I had my own golf, had my own golf event that was a lot of fun. And
I saw that.
It was good. We went how they do it, it's a two-man event. First nine is scramble. Second nine is best ball, one net best ball. We're 13 under heading into the second day, which was just crazy. And the next day, it was just a grind. We were two under, and we missed the playoff by – it's a six-hole playoff by one stroke. So
it looked like you had a few bevies there throughout the week.
Yeah, oh, for sure, man. Lost my putter somehow, so I don't know. That's how awesome. You do that. We found it, though, so it's all good.
Well, good stuff, man. I'm glad to have you back on here again. It's been an amazing season, and, dude, thank you for, you know, partnering with us. Like, you've been a great hit on the show the last few months, and really look forward to kind of, like we talked about the last couple podcasts, transitioning into NFL. We got a lot of our beat writers and analysts really grinding behind the scenes, and we'll be working that transition here in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned with that and all of our NFL products dropping at dfskarma.com. With that being said, you know, some high takeaways are, I went through a lot of this stuff in this, like, you know, 20-minute lineup review breakdown I did of the three lineups that I won over the course of time throughout this golf season. I had my best golf season. I didn't think I was going to top last year's, but I was able to, you know, with consistently cashing in cash games at about a 64-65% rate, which doesn't sound crazy, but in the grand scheme of things, if you stick to your actual bankroll strategy, it's pretty profitable. And then I've hit enough in some GPPs as well. But something that I thought was helpful to some of the Slack chat members as they responded to that video, and I think it's on YouTube and stuff too, if I'm not mistaken, is I just like to go through my process for three-man max entries, and I feel like it's generally pretty helpful. You know, something that we pride ourselves at DFS Karma is just providing information, strategies, game theories. And I feel like, you know, for any of you guys out there who do want to listen more on, you know, the exact blueprint that I generally use for all sports that I've implemented over the years at Karma, go check that video out. You can kind of go listen in more on my thoughts. And last weekend in specific, I got pretty in-depth on it. So this week we're heading to Boston. Everybody's here this week. I mean, this looks to be, like I said, one of the last fun, at least DraftKings tournaments of the year. There are decisions that need to be made. Just like we said last week, AP, like, you can't play everybody, right? I mean, it just kind of boggles my mind. Some of the things I see go across Twitter and stuff, you know, is why didn't you think he was a good play? And what is, you have to take stances, you know, even when you're MME, you know, I don't MME as nearly as much as anyone out there, but I mean, you got to take stances on guys, and that's why we're here to kind of dissect it. So this week in specific, let's just start at, let me see here. Let's just stick with the five figures and above guys. I think it's an important category. We'll start with Spieth and above. For cash games in specific, I wanted to start it this way because I'm telling you right now, I don't think you need to insert any of these guys if you're making one cash game lineup. I think there's so many guys in the next range, and we'll get to that in a second, that you can stuff as many of those guys as you want in your lineup for like an optimal cash build. That's just the route I'm going this week. That's why I kind of trolled you and saying, let's start with five figures and above. But pinging it to you, obviously you're more of a GPP player. I mean, you do still play single entries. So where are you looking at? And these five figure and above, is you're taking a stance. I mean, let's kind of take about the guys that you really like and a couple of fades that you're looking at.
Yeah, man. You know, first off, because a lot of these plays are going to court, you know, first off, I agree 100%. You got to take a stand. So like when I say I don't like a guy, I mean, it's because I'm most likely taking that stand. These are the top 100 players in the you know, FedEx. They're all great golfers. Like, I would encourage anyone, if your gut's telling you to go a certain way, stick with it. You know, I'm going. You know, I think this is definitely the week to plant your flag, take a stand. And so the other thing that you got to factor in is, you know, this course, when you look at it, hitting fairways here. So like one thing I always do is bluegolf.com, something like that. You can actually just Google the course plus Blue Golf and it'll pop up, but you can get a good idea of what the fairways are or what the course is doing. And I like to see the fairways, like to see the layout. Hitting fairways here. What's
up? I just want to stick with you for a second because you got my mind and the guys I already want to play this week. Then I did some research, but early on, some of the key metrics and stats that stuck out to what you were researching is I mean, really the takeaway is wide fairways, right? I mean, for the most part, I mean, obviously rough is going to be rough. It looks like it's still going to be wet in that northeast region. So I really am personally favoring bombers, especially with the superlative that essentially the wider the fairways, the better for these guys, right? I mean, what else are we looking into this week, essentially? I mean, it's going to be a birdie scoring fest. I mean, we kind of know what we want.
That's the main thing I'm looking at. The other thing is we got three par fives and Bengrass greens that are very fast. Really fast. So I think those are the three things to really, you know, think about, and at the same time, don't overthink it. So that's where I'm at. And when I look at that, you know, 10,000 and up range, I immediately did what you did. And I even think in GPPs, you can go down and build a really solid lineup. But right now I'm gravitating to guys that have had a lot of success here, that have had wins here. You know, I'm looking at, you know, for GPPs, you know, Justin Thomas, Rory, and man, I, you know, might give Spieth a look. I'm not sure. But really, you know, Justin Thomas and Rory and BK, Brooks Koepka, are three guys that really just stick out to me right now. Bombers off the tee. So these wide fairways are, you know, they're going to be having irons into these greens. And, you know, a guy like Justin Thomas, his distance control right now is phenomenal. And so he would give me, you know, I would have the, you know, he'd get the edge over Rory. You know, before GPPs, you get the leverage with Rory, who's not going to have much ownership. So at the same time, it's going to come down to roster construction for me, because we have so many guys I like below this range too. It might be one of those routes where you just go one of these guys plus multiple guys in that next tier. So that's what I'm kind of playing where I'm with right now.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to go about it this week. I think you kind of were hinting that Rory might go a little bit overlooked, and that's kind of what I'm thinking right now. And frankly, the last few times we've seen him, he just seems a touch off with his short game and just a touch off with his some of his approach shots. And, you know, I get it. He's definitely got the bomber angle, but, you know, I mean, he's even pretty wild with his off the tee game as well. But I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm worried a little bit about DJ, even though I put him up pretty high in my cheat sheet, just because I feel like game theory alone, people kind of are seeing the last couple of weekends of him kind of disappearing in some of the prime spots. But I mean, he's still scoring at will, and I still think he's the best player in the world, no matter what the freaking rankings say. So what I'm kind of doing is I'm looking for an approach, a strategic alliance by pairing DJ and Rory this week. I think it's an amazing little leverage play, because there's so many guys way down below, and we'll get to them. But I think you can kind of, like, you know, if they're both going to kind of disappear and bomb, why not then bomb at the same lineup? And I brought up the same strategy last week, you know, on our big podcast last week. I was talking about the live final, and I said, look, I still am going to have cash game exposure. I'm still going to make a main lineup along with my two kind of hedge GPP lineups. But in theory, I really wanted my cash lineup and my main lineup to tank, you know, and some people probably question, well, why do you want to lose money in cash games? That doesn't make sense. I mean, it does, though, if you want, you know, your brain to really, you know, think about, like, how do you actually win GPPs? And we try to do a good job of this in our Slack chat with baseballs. Like, you got to play players that are kind of sometimes suboptimal. You know, like when we look at the numbers right now with Rory, and even DJ, I guess, for a little bit, like I'm kind of hitting at it. It's like, well, you can make the case to fade them, no doubt. You know, I think we're all looking at some of the same numbers at this point in the season. So I just think it's a cool leverage play getting both of those guys, because they both could hit. Let's be real. The ceilings are ridiculous with both of them. So the fact that we can kind of fit both of them in this week, we talked off air, there's only 100 men in this field. It is an MDF event. There's a chance 80% of the guys will be playing through Saturday, which makes things even more interesting. So if you just hit on the right cheap guys that we'll get to, I mean, you never know. A DJ Rory combination could be really interesting. I think JT and Brooks are really chalk. And then to finish it off, Spieth is carrying a lot of momentum. I think we started seeing that industry-wide last week. I was a little bit surprised. I thought it was going to be a little bit lower owned. One of the few times I thought I've been wrong recently. Jason Day, I think, kind of is falling in that middle ground right now. I feel like he's not going to go overlooked, but people know are starting to look into Spieth. Brooks things there and the JT things there. So I think Day makes for a nice contrarian play as well this week.
I like it, man.
Let's drop down. Now, this is, I think, the most important range. Ironically, most of the last few podcasts we've been on, 3, 4, 5 weeks, we talk about that 7K range pairing with the top dogs is the most important. But I think you can literally, like you said, win a GPP, but also cash games. I think you can just stuff guys from like 9,700 to, let's say, 7,700. So it's a 2K range split, but I think it's really important. So where is your head at? Kind of where do you see the value at in the first couple guys you're looking at in this range?
So this probably won't be a popular take, but one thing I'm doing is avoiding completely fading. I shouldn't say completely fading. I don't know if I'm multi-entering yet, but Cantlay, Finau, and DeChambeau. So three of the chalkiest guys, or have been chalkiest guys lately. They just are getting all the exposure. And I'm talking GPPs. I'm not talking cash games. All their prices are up and everything. And so those are three guys I'm fading. I get it. It's a tough fade. I'll probably be kicking myself. But one guy I love this week, and, you know, he's so close, but Hideki Matsuyama, he was first in ball strike, or he was first in strokes gained on approach last week. So his ownership's also starting to tick up, which is unfortunate. Because he's just so close, and it's not like he did bad last week or anything like that, but he just struggled around the greens and struggled putting. So we know it's a volatile stat with him, and I'm trying to get it right. Hopefully it's this week. Now, the other guy I absolutely love, and somehow he's flying under the radar, but when we think of wide fairways, three par fives, I mean, I don't really bet too much on golf, at least yet, but I already threw a bet down on him. That's Tommy Fleetwood, at 8,500. You know, wins a lot. I mean, like Cantlay, Finau, all these guys are priced well above Tommy Fleetwood, which I think is just crazy. We always talk about Tommy. He's a threat to, you know, shoot a 63, at any point. He has it. One, but also he's having a really good year. I mean, he hasn't won recently, and so I love that price. I'm gonna have a lot of exposure to him. And then one more guy, you know, this is off my take. You know, one thing I'm looking at that I'm gonna release next golf season is a regression analysis tool. So looking at guys who really are, you know, trending to where maybe they're a reverse regression candidate or just a regression candidate. And so, you know, maybe it's, you know, their ball striking is not very good right now, but they're traditionally a very good ball striker. You know, eventually they'll trend back towards their mean is what we're thinking, unless there's like an injury or something else going on. And so that's a tool I'm working on. But Paul Casey, excellent course history here. When's the last time we've seen him under 8,000? He's been complete trash lately. Hopefully his ownership's down. I never like Paul Casey because he's always super highly owned. And so in GPPs, I like to fade him, which I've been doing recently, which has really helped my lineups. Now I'm hopping back on. We saw some good signs last week. What I think most people saw was the final score. So I'm looking a little deeper. And if you look at the last 2 years, he has two top five finishes here. So he loves this course. I think it's the right time to hop on Paul Casey. That's where I'm at, man.
Yes, sir. That's the same areas I'm looking at. So I wanted to really harp on this area for a reason. There's going to be a lot of chalk in this area, but I think it's, like I said, it's probably the best strategy, in my opinion, in cash games to stuff as many of these good plays as possible. My cheat sheet should be live on the website here by midnight-ish, but Paul Casey, I just said, is the most egregious mispriced player I might have seen all season. And I don't think that's really a stretch. 7,900, elite ball striker. This is the type of course that we really want to see him excel at. He's a cash game lock. Hideki's going to be chalk-tastic this week. He continues to be mispriced. He ranks fourth overall in my model. And he's scoring a ton of DraftKings points. I think, honestly, this tournament could be, you know, 2,200, 2,400 type tournament, man. Like, we just need scores. You know, sometimes some of these people in Twitter land and freaking podcasts, you know, just, I think like they overlook some of these things. It could just be me, but I mean, I've tended to target and weight DraftKings scoring in some of these tournaments a lot more heavier, I think, than some others. Like Tommy Fleet was another. How many times have, like, we talked about the last 6 weeks, 10 weeks, dude? What do I always say about Tommy? If you're playing three lineups, always put him on the one. I mean, have I not said that for like 3 months straight? The guy just always has two amazing rounds. It really is unbelievable how good he is consistently. And of course, like all these players, it's hard to bounce back. I mean, you know it too, like playing in real life golf, even yourself, whatever your handicap is, you can come out and just blaze one day. If you're in a 2 or 3 day event tournament, like it's hard to just bounce back and do it consistently. So I'm not really worried about it. Like you said, last weekend in specific, I was just analyzing absolutely every shot to a tee. So I feel very comfortable with Fleetwood, Matsuyama, Casey, and of course, Tony Finau. I mean, I know you're talking some angles as far as, you know, GPP potential fades, but to me, those are the four guys that I would really look to stick in that main lineup if possible. And then it makes it really interesting pivoting elsewhere. Like you easily can pivot off these guys in GPPs, or another strategy is you can get a couple of these guys, but you absolutely have to get a couple guys that are less than 5% owned. I mean, that's the only other way to take down a tournament. So that's kind of the way I would go about this range. A couple other things. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Sorry. I was just, you know, Tony Finau. So like, I don't want to talk anyone off of him, but the last time we were in this situation where, you know, it was a course where there's fairly easy scoring, pretty wide fairways, and he really seemed like the obvious play and that he would kill it was the RBC Canadian Open. And he really fell flat. So it can happen, but at the same time, man, he looked good last week. So it's a tough fade. I'm not sure. We still got a few days left. I mean, the tournament starts Friday, so we'll see.
So kind of on that thought real quick too, and this is part of my fault for not being more vocal about it the last few months on the podcast, but like at least in our Slack chat, every week I'm updating our subscribers at dfskarma.com for the Slack chat product. Kind of my betting picks I've hit 5 times this year. Again, we kind of went through that in the lineup video. We actually posted all the wins there. I mean, you can follow us at social media too. But I have some outrights already. I'm just going to read them real quick. All these odds are from mybookie.today. There is some deposit bonus codes there right now, mybookie.today. But the reason why I really like doing certain bets, like I'll kind of pick 6 guys. That's generally like my core. And then as the weekend progresses, and of course I update Slack, if I have horses in the race going into like a Saturday, even in a Sunday, it just depends. I mean, it's kind of a feel thing for me, right? I like to kind of sometimes just wait it out and get the best bang for my buck. Or if I see some opportunity on Saturday, I might get a couple live hedges only if I got major horses in the race. And then I always have some like dumb dart plays each week, sometimes T-top 20s and that stuff. But a couple guys real quick that I got money on is Finau at 30-1. I absolutely like Tiger, even though it's 19-1. I know his odds are always depressed because of the public money, but hear me out. I mean, he's losing strokes gained with his putter. His approach shots are still absolutely amazing. These fairways are wider. I mean, it's just ringing in the back of my head, you know, and he actually looked AP. I don't know actually how much golf you actually got to watch. Dude, I feel like he played even better last week than people even think, and he just was missing so many putts again. It's like the numbers are there, like the metrics are there. He easily could pop. And honestly, the way I was looking at it too, there's only 2 more tournaments left. I've bet him a few times this year, and if he freaking wins this week and I don't have money on him, I will be tilting. So this is a little bit more of an emotional bet too, but I do have a nice chunk of change at Tiger. Hideki, like you said, I love the odds at 35-1. I thought that was off. I thought he was going to come in at like 22, 24. And then Billy Horschel, I think, is going to get popular in DraftKings as well. I got to admit, man, I feel like I can fade him on DraftKings and be okay with it. I totally can see why. I put my cheat sheet. He just check marks every box at like in the top 5. It's unbelievable. He's playing some of the best golf he ever has, and he's at 40-1 right now. So, and again, some of the reason why I like to get some of these early in the week is a lot of these guys might be in my cash game core. And if one of them hits and I avoided them in GPPs, I might not hit in GPPs, but my cash games can still cash. And sometimes some of these core plays can still hit for some outright. So that's kind of why I like to go this route. And then I do get a couple plays a little bit more contrarian, and we'll kind of get to those. I'll rattle those off as we get down the range. But I kind of went over most of the guys I'm looking at. And I got to tell you, the one guy I was waiting to see if he would bring up is Bryson. Where's your head at with Bryson this week? Because I'm telling you right now, I am locked in. I'm considering him in cash games just because the public's going to fade him. Dude, talk to me about DJing.
I don't think the public – I mean, when does the public fade him? He was like almost 20% last week, wasn't
people,
he?
People fade people that win tournaments. It's just of DFS.
I know, but like let me look this up. It seems like he is always
– the reason why I say that is because if you look at it too, making a cash – first of all, people are drinking the Patrick Cantlay Kool-Aid right now, first off. And he's right. at $9,000. I might fade Cantlay in cash games this week. I feel like he shouldn't be priced above all these other guys. That's just where my initial head's at. Obviously, I might have some exposure to Cantlay in a GPP, but I don't know, man. Like, if I'm starting a cash game, I'm going Matsuyama. I'm going Finau. I'm going Fleetwood. And I'm going DeChamp right there. And I just feel like that's – I just rattled off four guys above 8,600, 8,500. Some people just get scared making – a lineup with too many guys too close together. And I feel like DeChamp might be the one that is honestly, oddly enough, the odd man out. And when you look at Vegas odds too, like Finau's got some more percentage points and, you know, same with Hideki. But you will be fading DeChamp this week.
Oh, man, trying to talk me back into it. Right now, I mean, as it stands, Cantlay, Finau, and DeChambeau, we're going to be the guys I fade. But honestly, I'm going to track ownership. If I know Cantlay and Finau are going to be chalky, if DeChambeau is not going to be chalky, you know, right around 10% or under come this week, then yeah, I'm going to have some shares for sure.
Real quick, my favorite play in this entire section, GPP only. I'm curious, he didn't say anything. Terrell Hatton, 7,700. And I have a nice outright on Mr. Hatton as well. Where are you at with Terrell Hatton? Was he on your radar at all? And I'll come back to it in a second, but just curious where you're at with Terrell.
He's not on my radar at all.
Ooh. Okay, okay. So maybe this is just me being an outlier here, but that's okay. I mean, that's why we're here, right? I'm on him, but if you're not, that scares me a little bit.
You know, he hasn't played here before. His putting was really bad last week. I know that's a volatile stat that can change. I mean, he was good off the tee, but we have, you know, pretty forgiving fairways. So that stat kind of washes things out. So, I mean, if his putting isn't there, that would be my only concern. I don't hate it, that's for sure. I mean, he's a guy that can pop. He's a guy that can score, too.
Yeah. I just feel like when you really dive into his stats, I mean, 10th at the PGA, you know, finished 20th at the Northern Trust. But, man, is he gaining a lot of strokes with his approach shots, and that's something I'm really keying in on. His tee to green game is great. He's got some distance. I really think, like I said, just this whole Northeast range we've talked about has been, you know, pretty wet. I am leaning bombers. Like you said, he's got elite upside. He can score birdies and will. He's not as consistent as I'd like, and that's what makes him GPP, right? I mean, there's absolutely no reason at all to play him in cash games, but I think that guys are going to need the long irons this week as well, and he's pretty good with his long irons, so he's kind of one of those players I'd like to monitor on social media too, and, you know, he seems like he's in a good spot right now. Yeah, the end of the season's near. I think a lot of these guys are going to be a little bit more lax this week, you know? I feel like he is a typical hothead. He's got the little mini John Rahm in him. And yeah, it only took us, what, 30 minutes to mention Rahm? For those who don't know, click the video that I did this past week. I mean, Rahm basically, I had a really good shot, at least, of pretty much guaranteeing a top five. I really thought about Spieth versus Rahm over and over.
Okay,
one of my
so
main lineups, but ultimately went Rahm, and that turned out to be what really ruined my weekend.
We gotta step back real quick because I missed two of my stars. I went right down to Hideki, Justin Rose, and John Rahm. I mean, Justin Rose's price is just way too low. I mean, 9,300. I mean, so I did watch golf on Thursday.
I think he's hurt, though, a little bit. Is he hurt?
All right.
So I don't think it's bad, but I think it's like a nagging thing. So I don't know, man. But yeah, GPP only.
But like everything was good about his game except for putting. So like, I don't know. I mean, his ball striking was good. He had a little distance control. That's something I'm going to look into. But otherwise, you know, John Rahm, I mean, he finished top five here last year. These fairways are wide. Everyone's
he's trolling us this week with a top five finish.
Yeah, so I mean, that's – I can't tell you how many times I've read just Twitter, Slack, wherever, just – you know, even I say it just jokingly, but knowing that I'm going to go right back to it, you know, never playing him again. You know, he's at, I sent out that post. He's outside of the circle of trust, and he is. But you know what? He can get back inside the circle of trust this week by doing us good, by getting a top five or maybe winning. So I will have some John Rahm this week. Otherwise, I'm going to get trolled, and I don't want to get trolled. So,
hey, man, it's funny you say that, actually, because – normally at this point in the week on Tuesday evening, I'm actually not fully prepared yet with my lineup building process. It's usually later in the week, but I actually have been so entrenched with studying golf the last 3 weeks. I mean, I think I was joking around with, you know, all of us in Slack chat on Sunday night, late Sunday, even though it was a quote unquote disappointing finish, still had a large profit in the live final. I was just so ready for this week because I already knew where I was going. I got about 4 or 5 GPPs in play in my main cash lineup. And I can tell you right now, and we didn't touch on them earlier until you went back to it, but in one of my lineups, similar to like my game theory logic with the DJ plus Rory lineup, like let them tank if they're both going to tank, but the massive upside's there and you get a little bit of leverage ownership. I'm doing the same freaking thing with Justin Rose and John Rahm. I have them paired for a reason. I believe they're both discounted pretty big. I mean, I think at this point in the season, we would have both, you know, 3, 4, or 5 months ago been like, yeah, automatic 10K. You know, like that's just what they're going to be priced at for TPC Boston. So you can get a lot of equity upside between those guys alone. And then frankly, like the way that I'm at least tinkering my current lineup is I'm looking into a couple other guys, hint, hint, that we'll get into maybe later or maybe around my cheat sheet. You got to go to the website and find out who missed the cut last week, who I'm back on this week. And I think I'm going to kind of just put them all in the same lineup because it's going to get depressed ownership and their prices are down. And like you said, they're still in great spots this week. And it's golf, man. Like these guys bounce back pretty quick. That being said, let's quickly move on to the lower tier region, kind of 7,600 and below. I can tell you, I got to steal my one guy because I keep going back to him over and over and over. And I don't even know if he's really the perfect fit for this course because he's a little bit of a shorter knocker, but dude, I'm going to continue to play these two guys in specific. One was amazing last week. One kind of trunk slammed on day one, but fought back hard on Friday. And that's Kevin Na and Stewart Cink. They both made my orange column this week in my kind of lock button category on my cheat sheet. They're just both playing really great golf. You know, Kevin Na just is – there's something to his game these last, like, 6 to 8 weeks. It's just every week he's popping in my models. Not living up to the bomber angle, but I'm okay with it, man. Like the dude plays good enough golf. He can score too. He stays in the fairways. Obviously that's better. I feel like people do lose sight of that. I know the fairways are wider, but he's kind of guaranteed to be in them. Same with Stewart Cink. Stewart Cink has played so damn good this season that I can absolutely promise you from like a pride perspective, that dude is not going to have a bad tournament. He was totally dumbfounded with his performance last Thursday. I was looking into some interviews. I was kind of looking at his body language and his, you know, after last Thursday, and then he came out fighting on Friday and he played really, really well. So he's had like one outlier tournament or round, excuse me, in like his last 15 and 7,100. I mean, man, I would consider him like a cash game lock in all honesty this week. So those are two guys in specific in these lower, there's a lot of guys honestly down here, but I'm really looking hard into those two.
I like it, man. I agree with both of those. I definitely have no problems with either of those two guys. So where I'm at, pretty similar. A few guys I'm looking at too, though. Ian Poulter, 7,400. Like, he's just playing too good, you know, lately. And I don't know. I don't think he had a great week last week, but his game's really been on point. I think 7,400 is a little too low for him. Matt Kuchar, 7,500. That's a guy I'm going to be looking at. And really, he's really low priced, and I just don't think a lot of people are going to own him. A few other guys I'm going to be taking a look at. Xander, 7,200. I mean, Xander's always priced around 8,000. So I think we're getting a huge discount there. That's kind of my finance brain kicking into gear, just buying that, you know, that value type of guy who's, you know, really underpriced and rightfully so, but he can pop at any time, especially late in the season, especially since, you know, with Bryson winning and, you know, I think the spots are still open on the Ryder Cup. I haven't looked at Ryder Cup stuff in a little while, but, you know, his name still has to be up there. Keegan's a guy I might give a look at. I know he's from the area, so I think that's relevant. And Jimmy Walker, 7,100, is another guy I've starred just because I've been on the Jimmy train.
You love Jimmy.
He's been making cuts. I mean, he's been steadily making cuts. And you know what? Jimmy finished third here the last time he played. And he also has a ninth place finish. So the fairways are also really big. So that's going to help Jimmy because we're always worried about him getting off the tee. And his approach game is absolutely phenomenal. So 7,100, I'm going to give him a look. That's where I'm at, you know, really. And then I think Travis has some excellent pump plays again this week, you know, that – I encourage everyone to go and look at, read his article. I'm on a lot of those same plays that he is. And, you know, the ones I'm not on, they might do better than the ones I am on. So who knows?
So a couple observations I have. Number one, I couldn't agree more. Xander Schauffele, actually, he made my cheat sheet, but in a weird way. I had him in my blue category, which I describe as safe, which is probably where your brain's thinking of. You're seeing him mispriced, which is probably what my brain's thinking of seeing him. But he just blows up so much and so often that it really is hard to trust. Like, hell no in cash games. Amazing GPP play. But I got to admit, at my bookie dot today, he was 80-1, and I have a fairly nice bet on him. And really, it is because of the narrative thing, right? I mean, like, in theory, he has to really win to have a shot at the Ryder Cup. I mean, that would be his third win of the year, wouldn't it be? Second win. Yeah. So I do love that. Keegan, I'm going right back to the well, and I know the well is might be like a 24-foot ditch, but, you know, if I fall in it, man, just help me out. I'll be crying from Slack chat. But, you know, like I said in my cheat sheet, he almost helped me big time, you know, with a huge finish. He just collapsed last Sunday. I mean, course record on Saturday, like, he couldn't hit any freaking fairway. It was just one of those things. I think he's fine though, and I think I'm going to stay on him as well. A couple other guys. This one's going to be a little surprising. I'm going back to the well this week, and he might wink wink end up in that correlation play with Rahm and Justin Rose, and that's Joel Dahmen. This is another guy that I think I'm going back to the well. The guy's only 6,400. So like, if he just makes the cut, he's 100% hitting value. It doesn't even matter really what place he comes in. But I firmly believe that not only does he make the cut, but he actually has the ability to score. And I feel like he plays better on courses where you can score at. I mean, he's 10th in DraftKings points, 9th in strokes gained approach, 5th in ball striking, 4th in strokes gained tee to green, and he's 5th in birdie or better percentage in his last 15 rounds. So, yeah, it's not like the sexy name or anything, and he caused a little controversy earlier in the season with Sung Kang, I believe. But, man, I kind of like Joel Dahmen. Like, I mean, clearly a GPP player, but I'll be going back to that well. I do not believe you mentioned my homeboy Kyle Stanley. Shame on you. He gets the auto mention week after week being priced at $7,100. Like, he's just mispriced. He should be – I don't understand. It's like an algorithm thing with him. I mean, I'm not calling him and comparing him to Tony Finau, but I remember, like, that's what Finau used to be every week for like a year and a half, was like $7,000. In my opinion, Kyle Stanley's a better golfer than that. That's really what it comes down to. He's just an elite ball striker. He's going to keep in play. He can score. And then kind of getting a little bit contrarian again, two guys I want to mention is Bronson Burgoon. We call him in Slack chat Burgoat, right? This guy got me to live finals with one of my tickets. I got close to taking down another GPP earlier in the year with him. And I don't know, call it a loyalty play. You know, this is the last year I'll be playing, or last event I'll be playing Bronson Burgoon. I mean, I'm playing him, and I think he's got upside. He popped it again last week, shockingly. You know, I'm seeing him on Saturday and Sunday just shaking my head, seeing people in Slack chat, you know, call out, you know, the Burgoon troll, and we kind of saw it coming because we were on him the week before and faded him last week, but I'm going back to that well. And one other guy that's just – I just have a little outright bet on him, a couple bucks, Luke List, wide fairways and score. I mean, I don't know, Luke List – he is that type of guy. Like, he's just going to randomly win a tournament. And I could honestly see this, to be honest, in a weird fashion. And then Johnny Vegas popped last week again. He tends to – Johnny Vegas is one of those guys I've noticed, AP, that I know a lot of people in the industry, and even us, you know, we'll talk about, like, bomber angle or accuracy angle or this and that. He's the one type of guy that seems like when it truly is potentially a bomber angle, like, he literally pops every time. And I feel like – no one's going to play Johnny Vegas, but he popped last week, and I could see it again this week. I mean, he kind of plays weirdly good golf at times when he's feeling it. So that's more of a gut call with Johnny Vegas. And frankly, that's most of these guys down below here. I mean, there's other guys like Nick Watney. I think I wrote up in my cheat sheet. I could see people going back to the well. I mean, dude, Alex Norn is 7,300. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, I played a lot of him earlier this year. I don't think I'm going to go there. It looks like his approach game's way off, but my God, I mean, talk about being mispriced over like a long-term aggregate. 7,300, that just kind of screams mispriced. But there's a lot of these guys, man. Your boy Hadwin's down here. Surprised you didn't mention him. I'm not playing him, but a lot of ways you can go in the 6,900, 6,800 range and take some darts if you're pairing some of those top dogs up top. I think that'll about do it, AP. We, again, as always, thanks for joining us. It's been an amazing season. If you guys can, if you haven't yet, please give us a thumbs up. Write us a good comment on iTunes. That helps us out. All of our content, again, is free, dfskarma.com. Every week, every sport, we'll be dropping all of our NFL stuff here shortly. This week, again, we do all of our betting at mybookie.today. And then you can find AP, myself, Travis, Statboy, Ryan, all in Slack chats. Usually, well, this week, I mean, we could probably still do it Wednesday, but every Wednesday at 9 o'clock for golf season, we'll have similar things going on for NFL where you guys can connect with us directly to talk about the slate. Successful season, AP. Any final thoughts going into, I guess, our NFL season here?
Man, no, I just... You know, I'm going to be looking at more qualifiers and stuff for live finals. You got me motivated for that. That's something I haven't really had on my radar, which I definitely should. I'm pumped to transition, you know. And then right after that, we got the sport I love, which is NBA. So, I mean, I love this time of the year.
Yeah, this year gets exciting. Like, it gets like, oh, my God, like everything's starting to happen. Because not everybody plays baseball. I mean, let's be real. It's a grindy sport, and, you know, that's actually where Karma formed like 5 years ago. We're huge into baseball, but we totally understand the market, and it's NBA and NFL are huge, huge markets for us. So sure. We look forward to all of you guys joining us on the other podcast shows. We actually just launched a new partnership with some of our MMA guys as well. So stay tuned for that. Weekly podcast will be dropping for that. They'll really get into not only the DraftKings stuff, but like the betting angles, which I think is just huge long-term in our industry, you know, utilizing the predictive analytics and the correlation to both fantasy and betting. So stay tuned for that. Those guys, the Bales brothers, are going to do a hell of a job, especially in Slack chat too. So until week one, I guess, for NFL. AP, thanks for joining us. It's been an awesome season, man. Can't wait for next year. And good luck, everybody. Any big wins this week, obviously give us a shout-out at DFS_Karma. Thanks. Good luck this week.